letting outer layers of the being kind of waterfall down. The surface skin and muscles pretending, showing, hiding, melting down. Is there comfort anywhere? And if you feel comfort or comfortable somewhere, could be a tiny place, it could be body or mind, if you feel comfortableness, just getting to know what it feels like a little bit, if you want to. If there's not comfortableness, no problem. Feeling if there's okayness somewhere. Maybe neutral or okay or fine. How does it feel? Or if there's a sense of no, there's not. Maybe briefly feeling the fire or aliveness or strength in the no, there's not. I won't, or I can't, or it doesn't. Briefly feeling where that no, N-O, low, happens, what it feels like, and then maybe coming down into your feet for a while, or opening to sound, or feeling the spine, the backbone, like a slow musical instrument, a rain stick. And the breathing. And maybe letting yourself be heavy and like a lake spreading down into the ground among mountains. Quiet and mostly invisible, not really standing out, but deep and full and maybe cool, quiet and full of life, deep in the ground, spreading a little bit into the ground. Water and earth merging. Maybe we can invite the sides of the upper back and middle back to kind of spread into the ground a little bit. Even if you're sitting up, a sense of being a lake and letting the back comfortably spread into the ground or the air behind you. Being welcome. A good match, lake and ground. Body and here. Heavy into the ground, allowing the body to maybe sink down, maybe spread out a little bit more, and feeling the curious way that sinking into the ground may also bring a little sense of openness or opening. Somewhere else, like the face of the lake open to the sky. In the ground and almost invisible, and sinking into the ground, and how that may bring some opening somewhere. With the heaviness. And no hurry. The feelings of hurry, the movements of hurry in the mind and body could be like a little wind across the surface of the lake, or a little fish swimming through. The lake and the ground remain. Even the head can begin to be water. The hands, knees, the lake whole and also together, connecting, merged, kind of one with the ground while still having our own wholeness of body. Wholeness and heaviness and ground. And heaviness and ground may sometimes bring a little opening somewhere. the massage of the breath and the ground and the air working together. Feeling the ground and the air working together with breathing. Sometimes like a small massage. And maybe sometimes enjoying noticing where one part of the body might be opening and spreading, somewhere else is gathering together, compressing. Sometimes letting this process we call breathing carry you. Being inside that moving shape. Waves in the lake. Feeling aliveness. In the lake, body, body, mind. Aliveness going on. Body of aliveness. Soft as water, powerful, a power. Presence happening, discovering again and again that there's something that feels like presence that we can't do. But is anyway. Apart from my doing, welcome in presence. a presence happens. And maybe letting experiences just be like vibrations in presence. Allowed to be themselves. The back, heavy and alive. And opening, perhaps. Feeling a softness that allows aliveness to be powerfully present. You don't have to hold your body up, letting something else do that. Something else, do that breathing, do that receptivity to have sensations and sounds coming in. And this may be something simple to practice. Finding a way to kind of be absorbed in presence with some softness, some giving up on some kinds of effort. And giving in to life being powerful for you. And sometimes it may be good also to have a particular place within the whole body and field of being. Maybe the lower belly. Could just kind of be on like a candle or a lamp. Shining by its own light and felt in its sentience, its ability to feel. Or enjoying the back breathing, feeling where within the whole body and whole field feels good and possible, or okay and possible. To receive the live stream of experience. And when a more definite, specific mind state comes about, pleasant or unpleasant, we could feel the shape. If there's a shape, is it in the whole body or somewhere specific? How far does it spread? Where do we not feel it as much as something happening in the body or energies? Texture, cool, warm. Dense, light, fluid, still. Thick, thin. Are there some textures going on? With a state of mind and heart that comes up. Maybe insecurity or anger, fear, shame, trying too hard. Grief, sadness, regret, etc. Even tiredness or lots of energy is a state of mind. Gradually allowing for a few minutes, maybe, the sensations to develop like an old-fashioned photograph. At first, we may feel nothing of sensation, and then maybe that's something soft or hard. Or yes, there's a lot of heat or cold. And then after a while, maybe we notice something else, some movement or pressure. Brightness, darkness, colors can also count, as if they are sensations. Knowing that everybody here and elsewhere has felt that state of mind sometimes, maybe even now. Part of our human instrument. And especially if it's a difficult mind state, then releasing, coming deliberately to something more easy to feel for a long while. Or maybe going for a visit to our feet. And keeping ourselves pouring into the feet. between the big toe and the next toe, is there something felt on the bottom of the foot in the skin? Is something felt? Is there weight in a foot? And sometimes we might feel curiosity and enough relaxation or boredom with a familiar, difficult mind state. Probably something that's not very strong in this moment. If it's strong, just very briefly feeling for now. And then feet or somewhere more simple. Even though it might feel like going against a river for a while to come in somewhere else. The buttocks, the lower belly, the back, a memory of gratefulness, etc. Whatever works. A longer out breath for a while, washing through. But sometimes there might be a mind state we can feel and maybe kind of feel and remember one that we maybe know and can presently tune into a bit without it being overwhelming. And coming back to, is there a form, a shape, a place, temperature, and so on, if you want to. In your own rhythm, sometimes it could be kind of picking it up and feeling it with an in-breath and dropping it with the out-breath, and picking it up with the in-breath and dropping it with the out-breath. And the out-breath could be pleasantly washing through. After a while, maybe our interest in this energy, mind, body experience that we have called insecurity or bitterness or whatever, a not strong one for now, we could be more interested in the sensations and the energy and even the aliveness present in it, in that shape, in that experience. And we could lose some of the name. We could forget we called it embarrassment or trying too hard or lack. And be into feeling, receiving sensations, textures and qualities of it. Its rhythm. Almost as if it is an organism in some way. within our inner being, inner landscape. With no name for now. And if you feel something like tension or contraction somewhere with it, maybe softening the mind and feeling what's in that experience called tension, called contraction. Less and less story in it. More respectful of this almost like living organism. Maybe it has within it its own help, healing and liberation. And maybe letting it float as if on a sea of softness or in your own lake of body-mind aliveness. Just letting it float, giving it to life, giving it back to life for a while. No fight, no answer. Some stories that we less and less believe. Some experiences, perceptions, sensations, colors, maybe voices, that we allow to be in itself, in life, not our own kind of private problem, not who we are really, something that happens in our inner landscape. Sometimes feeling and kind of releasing into the ground or as if into that lake, body, mind of aliveness, of softness that allows life to be powerfully, subtly vibrant and here. Presence, not yours anymore. As if almost someone else's forgotten old clothing lying there. Near you. And relaxing some more if possible. If it's a little bit more of a strong energy that really does feel like it's in you, in your body. Sometimes more softness and relaxing and letting it be can be good and fun and possible. Not taking it as something wrong, but powerfully alive with perhaps its own solution in it, in itself. And the out-breath comes through from time to time. Like a washing rain. And then maybe heaviness and back. Being a lake in the ground. Perhaps as if with a spring inside the lake, a spring of sweet aliveness. Letting some experiences kind of float in the lake, being the lake of presence. Cool and deep. Beauty of depth and being. Stillness. And depth enough for whatever may come up to have some room. To be held by life. And a freeing breath. Sometimes. What if there is some room for everything? And still some more room for depth. May there be peace, inner and outer. Would anyone like to ask or share anything? Around? Uh-huh. Wondering about the practice around food. So a feeling of waiting and expectation around the meals, with the sense that the meals will be some kind of relief. And she says, not sure what kind of relief, or why meals as opposed to shower. Shower time could be and is some kind of relief, but in a different way. So what is it about the meal time? Expectation of relief. So it could be hours of expectation, and then in 10 minutes, eating a few mouthfuls, she's feeling full already, and the pleasure of it, or the pleasure slips away. Great. So that last part was, it's hard to let go of, and so sometimes eating more than I need, and it sometimes feels like this miserable circle.
It sounds a bit dramatic.
Right. So she's saying it sounds a bit dramatic. Thank you. It's a great question. So on retreat, there's nothing much going on. And the meals are going on. And lots of energy goes into it, and there's colors and textures, and okay. And so if we can pause here and notice how when we're not on retreat and meals are not the only thing going on, what replaces this in the miserable circle? Like, for example, social media. We're expecting, and we're not sure what we're expecting, but it's like the word relief is an interesting one. And then the actual happening as you described so well, and the hands helping to say, whatever pleasure might have been in it slips away. Or was it even? Was I even in pleasure? So when you say it sounds a bit dramatic, it sounds like you're kind of saying, oh, it shouldn't be important. It shouldn't be taking up so much of my inner life because it's just food or something like that. And why this miserable circle around something? So what? Yes, totally. Also. She's saying it feels exposed to talk about food. And she's doing like this with her hand here. The heart area. So one good thing about being on retreat and having the lifestyle simplify this way. Could you open the door? You can come in. Please feel free to come in. We're talking about food. And how much of our day can be about food on retreat. And how we can check what might be similar objects of expectation when we're not here. But the same circle of expectation, and then something slips away, and was it even pleasurable? We expect relief. Was there relief? Is there relief? And I gave the example of social media, and noticing when I said that, or you think that, like, how you feel inside? Is there like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Because I'm not going to give it up, even though... So, just checking what happens. Also, any other addiction, all of them. And with food, it's tricky because we need to eat. So, okay. I think it's interesting to check that word relief, like there's an expectation of relief. So, on retreat... That can be really helpful. Leverage. What's leverage? Manof? Okay. To really start to get inside our practice, that thing of making it our own. So if I'm practicing in a way that's miserable, that's too hard on myself or too loose on myself, not caring, not close, not far, whatever, not enough space, too much space, then I will be expecting, where's my relief? So the feeling of needing relief can help us adjust what we're practicing and the way we're practicing. Slowly. We can't, it's not at once that it happens. But when we see ourselves, like Michal is being brave enough to talk about this in this room, so that could help in ourselves open that space internally, which also is brave. To even talk about it with ourselves, inside ourselves, takes courage, I think. I don't know about you, but. So, possibility that expectation of relief could help us, it could be helpful for uncovering ways we're practicing that are unhelpful. Because I need relief from it. But again, it's a slow process. It means there might be a sudden discovery one day, like, oh, practicing with joy, okay. But then the same thing will come in and take joy as a new task or whatever, a new lack or something. And again, another discovery and another. Slowly, like coming home and coming home and coming home. So feeling that wanting there to be something that I can expect relief from later on. Feeling that in the body, the shape of it. Yesterday I mentioned the word postponement, it can also, we can feel how it might be, it may be the expectation of whatever that will give me relief later on. Can it be something that keeps me from going too deep or being too present or too curious or some kind of way of trying to protect myself from what? Not that we on purpose do that, but that happens in people, in us. And there's so much in this about food that we can also get into, like, okay, what is food? Like, the many ways we can go with that question, what is food? I'm expecting relief from the mealtime because I'm off schedule. I'm expecting relief from the mealtime because it's a little more social, even though we might not be having eye contact. But there might be more togetherness that I allow, maybe. I'm expecting relief from the mealtime. I'm not saying everybody expects relief. For some people, it might be like, oh no, the mealtime. Dang it. But in this case, for this example, I'm expecting relief from the mealtime, some promise of nourishment, some relief from lack, some relief from me trying in a dry way to make something happen that's so important to me, this thing called meditation, and so ungraspable. Just eat. So we can feel like, what's the expectation of, what does the sense that it will be a relief tell me that I want, or I sense that I lack, or that I love? For some people, it might not be complicated. Thankfully, not everybody might. It might just be, I love food. Textures and colors and all that love and care that people put into it for us, for our practice. And then for any, like, just leaving room for all the complications there, when we're actually there with the food, where things about all of our ideas about how we're supposed to be with food, how we should take care of our body, or we don't want to take care of our body, or the yes, the many yeses and many no's and oh, around the situation of the bowl of food and the body and the mind. Just a lot in this. It's so, so good you brought it up. Also, it's so basic. It's so basic, like having a body at all and needing to find a posture to be in. All the time, the body's in a posture. And it's so basic, like sleep and death and birth and sex. It's so, like, I mean, it's like a crossing of boundaries, a clear expression of what's called emptiness. But it's about an interweaving, and we're not what we think we are. We're not even what we want to be. It's, you know, like we think we're this up here, and what do I do with that? I don't know, so I will just, I don't know what I'll do, but I'm not going to do that. And then it erupts in some overwhelming thought storm or whatever, emotion or body thing. Or so maybe with food we could practice, like, acknowledging up here the interconnectedness of us and the not aloneness of us, even if it starts out mental, which probably it will, but really thinking about even one vegetable on the plate or one grain of rice. And that could be a good way to start, because it is overwhelming. Like, start with one grain. Or, like, actually looking at your plate and not trying to be all holy necessarily, just, like, really basic. Letting it, you know, come down here. And what is this organism and what are these organisms that were alive? They didn't have eyes, but they were alive. Otherwise, they're not food for us. And that's weird. It's so intimate. And even when we do our best to take less life, but we're taking life in to this living organism. And that's not rules that we get to change. It's not rules that are very comfortable, that we must kill to live. It's weird. And then what gives life to all these? I mean, where does that come from? So, but it could even be really, really simple. Here's the bowl and here's the organism and we're together. And even if it's just thinking a little bit, like just imagining the grain of rice, and we could go just back to the plant that the rice came from, that could be a lot, because it's got soil and it's got all those billions, probably trillions of microorganisms without which there's no rice. And of course, the people farming. We could go further back, all those people farming, and those people farming, and those people farming, back and back and back, are on our plate. And they're going to become our body. The possibility of, like, maybe as generosity, required generosity. Generosity as intrinsic. Built in, I forget the movne. So there could be, just to finish for now, because we could talk for days about it, but definitely will not right now. Just to open some threads in case there's one you want to be with, hang out with, let it unravel or gather for you. So we could, on one side, take, if there's a subject of food that has minutes or hours of focus of some kind, expectation of relief or planning control, worry, self-consciousness, like, did anybody see me take another scoop of rice? Maybe I should take another scoop of rice. Maybe I shouldn't. Is it okay for them? My plate. And all of that. Or is it an inner them? Is it okay for them? And then maybe the possibility sometimes of just, like, the body does the scoop. Okay, but on one side we could play with, there's a way that it maybe isn't about the food so much. It's about the cycle of misery, where I place myself not having something that later will be good, instead of, is there something good now? And it, do I dare, is there some possibility of opening? It sounds so good, like be with something that's pleasant, that feels good, that feels juicy. But it's very challenging. It's much more challenging than, like, be with the pain. And we can't force it to happen. So inwardly finding when it is possible to be with some openness to what is good, and gradually we may start to find it's the openness itself that's good. Or good too. And that's now. And there's less energy going to the expectation and all that. Another way to think of that is, like, the word timeless or timelessness, if that kind of works in some way for you. And then time is expecting over there or something. or a sense of lack or a sense of enoughness. And it can be as questions like, what if enoughness? Or what if so, so, so now and so, so, so now and even just before now? And then on the other side, food, that it's not just a random subject. And the way that it connects with the way we take care of our bodies and the way we relate to our bodies and hate and love our bodies, like and dislike, feel comfortable in and not, and the way it might have something about a quality of nourishment or a quality of fullness and a quality of community and playing in our ways with those qualities, like finding what does it kind of mean? What currency is the idea of food? What is it about? And for example, if it's partly about community, then maybe playing with the community of life, you and your plate. And it might be very, very pale. What's pale? It will be probably very pale at first. It might be very mental. But we also know it's true, and so that can start to sink in. We know it's true that it's a community in so many ways. It's a community that makes the food in the gross level. It's a community that makes the food in a microscopic level. And even microscopically inside, we can't do food without our trillions of friends inside. To kind of mess with our simplistic ideas of what we are and open to something that's simple enough that things can be that complex. We don't have to know it and do it all. That's part of community. We don't have to know it and do it all. So as if it's just not about food, and as if it, and that it is about food, like both sides can be interesting. And it can be a way to be more at peace in our bodies rather than trying to approach, like, I want to like my body shape, or I'll make my body shape better and then I'll like my body shape, or about aging or pain or whatever happens, all the different things that can happen in our relating to this thing or not thing. Kind of in a way, indirectly, and another way, more directly, getting into the weirdness of whatever this is. And like coming from the bottom up, like, well, it's all so weird. Like, who could even bother about the size of my hips? You know? A little bit like visiting ourselves at the end of our life. Like, who cares? Seriously. At the end of our lives, if we practice meditation and are interested in going deep, we will know that we do not care. And it does not matter. Toda rabba. Thank you, Michal.